शुण्वन् ईवाश्येन पूजयैर्वाश्लिषन्
ईवाश्लिषन्
तद्दर्शनेनागत सत्त्वसक्षत्वा तद्दर्शनेनागत साध्वसक्षित्या अवन्दताङ्गं विनमय्य दण्डवत् प्रपश्यन् प्रपिबन् निबार्भकस् दृग्भां प्रपश्यन् प्रपिबन् निबार्भकस् चुम्बन् निवाशेन पूजयैर्वाश्लिषन् शुम्बन्निवाश्येन भुजैरिवाश्लिषन् तद्दर्शनेनागत साध्वसक्षित्वा शुम्बन्निवाश्येन भुजैरिवाश्लिषन् तद्दर्शनेनागत साध्वसक्षित्वा चुम्बन् निवाश्येन भुजैरिवाश्लिषन्
तद्दर्शनेनागत सद्वाश्यक्षिता
शुम्बन्निवाश्येन
भुजैरिवाश्लिषन्
तद्दर्शनेनागत सत्त्वसक्षिता
tad-darshanena,
tad-darshanena,
after seeing the Lord,
after seeing the Lord,
āgata sattvasaha,
āgata sattvasaha.
Dhruva Maharaj being greatly confused,
Dhruva Maharaj being greatly confused,
kshitau,
kshitau,
on the ground,
on the ground,
avandata,
avandata,
offered obeisances,
offered obeisances,
angam,
angam,
his body,
his body,
vinamaya,
vinamaya,
prostrating,
prostrating,
dandavat,
dandavat,
like a rod,
like a rod,
dribham,
dribham,
with his eyes,
with his eyes,
prakoshan,
prakoshan,
looking upon,
looking upon,
prapivan,
prapivan,
drinking,
drinking,
eva,
eva,
life,
life,
arvakam,
arvakam,
the boy,
the boy,
chumban,
chumban,
kissing,
kissing,
eva,
eva,
life, ashina,
ashina,
with his mouth,
with his mouth,
ujjayi,
ujjayi,
with his arms,
with his arms,
eva,
eva,
life, ashvishan,
ashvishan,
embracing,
embracing.
Translation by His Divine Grace of Prabhupada. When Dhruva Maharaj saw his Lord just in front of him, he was greatly agitated and offered him obeisances and respect. He fell flat before him like a rod and became absorbed in love of Godhead. Dhruva Maharaj in ecstasy looked upon the Lord as if he were drinking the Lord with his eyes, kissing the lotus feet of the Lord with his mouth and embracing the Lord with his arms. When Dhruva Maharaj saw his Lord,
his Lord,
just in front of him,
just in front of him,
he was greatly agitated,
and
offered
him
obeisances
and respect.
He fell flat before him,
like a rod,
and became absorbed in love,
of Godhead.
Dhruva Maharaj in ecstasy,
Dhruva Maharaj in ecstasy,
looked upon the Lord,
looked upon the Lord,
as if you were drinking the Lord with his eyes,
as if you were drinking the Lord with his eyes,
kissing the lotus feet of the Lord with his mouth,
kissing the lotus feet of the Lord with his mouth,
and embracing the Lord with his arms,
and embracing the Lord with his arms.
Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Naturally, when Dhruva Maharaj personally saw the Supreme Personality of Godhead face to face, he was very much agitated in awe and respect. And it appeared as if he were drinking the entire body of the Lord with his eyes. The devotee's love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead is so intense that he wants to kiss the lotus feet of the Lord constantly. And he wants to touch the tips of the toes of the Lord and constantly embrace his lotus feet. All these features of Dhruva Maharaj's bodily expression indicate that upon seeing the Lord face to face, he developed the 8 kinds of transcendental ecstasy in his body. Om Abhyana Tivyamasya Jnanam Jana Shalakaya Chakshurun Vilitam Lena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Pishtham Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapalantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapada Kamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavam Shaya Shri Rupam Sakra Jatam Sahadaram Raghunatham Vikam Tvam Sajivam Sadvaitam Sabhadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitam Sajam He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Vandho Jagat Pate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Vastute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Rade Vrindavani Shari Vrishabhan Sute Kalpatarupascha Kripa Sindhu Dvayevacha Patitanam Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasudeva Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama When Dhruva Maharaj saw his Lord just in front of him, he was greatly agitated and offered him obeisance and respect. He fell flat before him like a rod and became absorbed in love of Godhead. Dhruva Maharaj, in ecstasy, looked upon the Lord as if he were drinking the Lord with his eyes, kissing the lotus feet of the Lord with his mouth, and embracing the Lord with his arms. So, Dhruva Maharaj got to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Dhruva Maharaj performed such great austerity that the demigods became perturbed. Because of Dhruva Maharaj's austerity, the universal ear actually gross material substance, or water, etc. But the air, real air, is the air of these that I mentioned, that control the body, and the activities of the body, keeps the body, keeps the soul within the body, and so on. And when Dhruva Maharaj stopped to breathe, the universal air ruptured. He was in such close communion with the Supreme Personality of Godhead as the Super Soul that his activity actually became synonymous with the activity of the Super Soul of the Lord. And as a result of that, even the demigods became perturbed and very suffocating. Like they found actually all the souls are kept in the material body, but all living entities due to the prana body. Not only the human beings, but the animals. Similarly, that airport, choked, even demigods found it difficult to remain in their own body. The capacity of demigods cannot even imagine. Like, first of all, they drank nectar. Therefore, their body is practically immortal. Because of drinking nectar, they are immortal. Of course, in this material nature, no one is immortal. But the point is that because of drinking nectar, they have a very long duration of life. Therefore, soul and the body are in perfect harmony. And their body doesn't deteriorate. Only at the time of annihilation, when everything dissolves, when everything disintegrates, the demigod's body also disintegrates and they go back to God. In most places, they practically go back. Their connection with the body is so intense and so harmonious, so unifying, that they practically go back with their selves. So we can understand that Dhruva Maharaj's austerity was so severe that even the demigods became Buddha. Similar thing happened also when Hiranyakashipu performed the austerity. Then also, with Dhruva Maharaj, and here is the difference, when Dhruva Maharaj stopped breathing, the breathing process stopped. And as a result of that, the demigods found that they were suffocating. Whereas Hiranyakashipu's austerity caused to create a very, very intense heat. And that's what disturbed him. So here we see the difference. Hiranyakashipu's austerity created heat. Whereas Dhruva Maharaj's austerity caused tranquility. Dhruva Maharaj's austerity did not generate agitation of that nature. The heat is produced out of anger and envy, a negative quality. Heat is produced. But the positive quality have different types of effect. Like the materialistic people's hair are very hot. Whereas the devotee's hair is cool. So that's the difference between the devotee and the beings. A materialistic people and spiritual person. The devotees have cool head and warm heart. Whereas the demons have hot head and cold heart. The devotee's heart is broad, the demon's heart is closed. Devotees are generous, the demons are selfish. And so these are the internal characteristics of the devotee and of also the characteristics of the demon. Now, how does it happen? What is the cause of that? Do the devotees practice to keep the cool head? No. But just by being devotees, all these things automatically happen. Just shastri bhakti, bhagavata, sarvayi munaisa. One has developed unalloyed devotion to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Sarvai Gunastattva Samman Satishu, all the divine qualities automatically manifest in the world. The divine nature and demoniac nature. They don't have to practice. One doesn't have to practice to become a demon. Similarly, one doesn't have to develop the divine qualities by some artificial practice. As they perform and For example, on the material platform, people try so hard to become attractive. They have their face lift, they have their nose lift, they have their plastic surgery to tighten their skin to become attractive. And apparently they may look attractive, but when you come close to them, we find them to be super repulsive. Somebody may be very good looking, somebody may be very beautiful to look at, and there may be some sort of attraction, but when you come close to them, in most cases we find them to be so terrible, so disgusting, so repulsive. Whereas a devotee, apparently may not be good looking, but he becomes so attractive because of this, because of developing spiritual quality. One example for that matter we saw ourselves. When you met Srila Prabhupada, Prabhupada was quite old. Like when I met Srila Prabhupada, Prabhupada was 82 years old. 80 years old. So apparently an 80-year-old person is not very attractive. But Prabhupada was so attractive that everybody was attractive. Just consider Prabhupada went to America. And in America, how do we look upon an Indian? Because if you think from the Mars planet, he looks so different to you. And they don't have much of a because India was the third world country of the country. They find cows on the street. That is understanding of the man of India, the mind of the man. But when Prabhupada went there, all these young Americans who became disgusted with the man, they became attracted. Physically, maybe it was not, and also the young people of America. Young people at that time considered that anyone who is above 30, he is from another world. They had nothing to do with people who were of not their generation. They used to call them straight, squares. They themselves were freaks, and those who were normal, they were square. And they had nothing to do with them. They couldn't accept even an American above 30. And Srila Prabhupada was about 70-year-old Indian. And not only they accepted him, they offered themselves completely to Srila Prabhupada. Why? Because Srila Prabhupada was beautiful. It was devotion that made him attractive. He was not attractive with his physical form. Srila Prabhupada was attractive with his spirit soul. Prabhupada's spirit soul was and people could get a glimpse of the spirit soul just by coming in contact with him. The spirit soul radiates that spiritual vibration, spiritual energy. And that's what so this is how one actually develops the mind quality as he practices the process of Krishna. A devotee doesn't have to be No, because he doesn't have the abilities. Similarly, those who are completely blind, material, due to their material situation, those who are completely cold-hearted, they cannot receive, they cannot appreciate the warmth of the heart of somebody. So that is the unfortunate condition of those who are in heaven. That it's not that always the devotee fears the devotee will be eventually. Like we have seen so many examples, like Hiranya Kashipu. His own son, generally the fathers are naturally attracted to their son. No matter how deformed or ugly or disgusting the son may be, to the father and to the mother, it's the most beautiful object. There is a saying in Bengali that to the mother, her blind son is lotus. Because of her affection for the child, it's a natural propensity of the parents to develop this attraction for their own children. Whereas Hiranyakashipu, Prahlada was his son, and he is not only his son, he is a pure devotee of the Lord, but Hiranyakashipu was not attracted to him. He rather became averse to him, so much so that. So this is the demonic nature. The demon will become perturbed by it. Whereas those who are spiritually inclined or those who are even innocent, they will become attracted by the divine quality of the devotional qualities of the devotee. What to speak of Prahlada? Even when the Supreme Personality of Godhead Himself comes, He is all attractive. Krishna is all attractive, but the demon, they don't become attractive. They rather become enemy of Krishna. Shishupala just couldn't stand the sight of Krishna. Wherever he would see Krishna, he would stop. Especially in the Rajeshriya sacrifice of Yudhishthira Maharaj, Shishupala was so offensive because the honor was offered to Krishna. The greatest honor was offered to Krishna. And he stood up protested. How can you offer the greatest honor to this person? And he started to lost in Krishna. Sound is logical. Sound is logical. He says, why are you offering this respect to him? In which way he is the greatest? There is such exalted personality, like Bhishma is here, Dronacharya is here. And if it is your concern for your well-wisher, then Drupada is here, who is the greater well-wisher of you. If it's a matter of age, Krishna, your father is here, or Sudeva is here. Sudeva, he started to reason, like the demons are very good at reasoning. They are very expert to prove that, that Krishna is not worshipped. And then he started with that song. And we don't even know. What is birth? We don't know any of the Kshatriya or the Vaishya. If that's any of the Kshatriya, then he is a Vaishya. And you're offering your respect to this Vaishya. He spent his time. What did he do? He didn't go to school. He's spending hours in the forest. Doesn't have a degree from Harvard. And then what he was doing? He was flirting with young girls. feet. When he was a child, he used to steal butter. And when he grew up, he started to steal the sari for the young people. So in this way, he started to ask him. When Bhishma steps to God, he called Krishna a debauchee. He said, I'm celebrated all over the world as a celibate because of my celibacy. The whole world worships. And I worship this Krishna. Because Krishna is the best of all celibates. So this is how. The devotees see Krishna, and this is how the demons see Krishna. Even though they seek him face to face, they cannot appreciate him. On the other hand, here we are seeing how Dhruva Maharaj saw Krishna. A little boy, a 6-year-old boy. And as soon as he saw Krishna, his heart just now, did he learn from school or Brahmachari Ashram how to respect Krishna? Did he learn it by following the rules and regulations of the scriptures? No. It is spontaneous feeling. The spirit soul is not 6 years old. The spirit soul will become a part of Krishna. So when the spirit soul becomes exposed to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and this is a natural reaction. A wonderful example for that is when Krishna was traveling through the forest of Jharkhand, the animals there started to dance, started to chant. Now how is it possible? How did it happen? It happened because they were not the animals, they were not animals anymore. They were just pure spirit souls who came across the Supreme Personality of God. And when a pure devotee, when a spirit soul comes across the Supreme Personality of God, then what's the natural reaction? Romancha Kampashutan Kumhadu. He experiences eight kinds of ecstasy. Hair standing on end, romance, body trembling, overwhelming ecstasy. Tears flow from the eyes incessantly. And these are the ecstatic symbols. When the heart becomes ecstatic, the body naturally display the effect of it. That is what it's not something artificial. Sometimes the Saradhya, in order to show that it's kind of symptom, they put some irritating substance in the eyes and tears come out and people think, oh, he is mixed. So the ecstasy is not an external thing. When the heart experiences the ecstasy, then the body will automatically display the ecstatic symptoms. Just by artificially displaying the ecstatic symptoms, we cannot develop the ecstasy. So that is what the mundane people, the sadhus, cannot. They are not interested in developing their spiritual life. They are not interested in their spiritual enhancement. They are simply interested about having some cheap adoration.
what is happening nowadays. All kinds of cheaters are being recognized as big spiritual leaders. But the greatest spiritual leader who actually came to deliver the world and is still continuing to deliver the world is first of all, they have spiritual problems because they do not know what spiritual means. They will probably get somebody like Ravi Shankar to do spiritual problems. But they'll never approach the real people who can actually spiritual, not only. And of course, in a way, that is our lacking also. Like, what are we doing to promote Shiva? In many cases, we ourselves are not practicing Shiva. What to speak of? Asking others to follow that. Unless we become serious about spiritual life, and unless we become serious about the process that Shiva gave us, then how can we convince others? Naturally, the blind man will follow. So ultimately, the responsibility is almost on us. Not that we depend upon Jimmy Carter or Nelson Mandela or Carter, but we on our own have to make that endeavor, the spiritual and good people will respond. The demons may not respond, but those who are serious about their own lives, they are serious about the condition of this world, those who are serious about benefiting mankind, they will follow. That's why we have a very responsibility
other hand, if we fall down to the spiritual realm, who suffers? First, we suffer. And the situation becomes hopeless. If a person in ignorance indulges in sinful activities, becomes degraded, that is at least understandable. But those who have the knowledge, if they become degraded, that is very, very unfortunate. And ultimately, why does one give up spiritual mind? Why does, especially those who have come in contact with the Bhagavan, they give up? Because they do not appreciate the spiritual perfection, do not recognize the Bhagavad Gita. That's why the first and foremost consideration is to recognize the Bhagavad Gita. And then only will you be able to be more fixed up in the spiritual life. And it doesn't matter whether one has come in contact with Sri Prabhupada or not. Whoever will appreciate Sri Prabhupada will make spiritual progress. At least in ISKCON, that is the guiding factor. How much we are appreciating Sri Prabhupada. The more we appreciate, the more we make spiritual progress. Why? Because this institution has been founded by Sri Prabhupada, designed by Sri Prabhupada. This movement is based on Sri Prabhupada's instruction, Sri Prabhupada's arrangements, Sri Prabhupada's direction. So that is the most important consideration. Whether we came across Srila Prabhupada or not doesn't matter. We come across Srila Prabhupada, we get to know Srila Prabhupada from reading his books, hearing about him, and seeing what he has done. And whoever develops this appreciation for Srila Prabhupada, he will make rapid spiritual progress. Therefore, the key to our spiritual success lies in appreciating, recognizing Srila Prabhupada's greatness and following Srila Prabhupada's instructions. The more we appreciate Srila Prabhupada, the more we will speak. And there are plenty of material to develop that. Srila Prabhupada's books are there. Srila Prabhupada's temple, Srila Prabhupada's tapes are there. Srila Prabhupada's videos are there. And on top of everything, Srila Prabhupada's ISKCON is there. The more we go deep into that, these materials, these obstacle things, the more we will appreciate. And this appreciation is natural, not an artificial sentiment. We should be careful that it's not a sentimental. Sentiment is blind. Sentiment is not substituted by knowledge. Sentiment is not founded on knowledge. Sentiment is. Therefore, sentiment is key. Therefore, we find there have been people working Jai Prabhupada for a few days and then back to India. They appreciated Srila Prabhupada, they appreciated Srila Prabhupada's teaching, but how can they go back to India? The more we appreciate Srila Prabhupada, the more we recognize the importance of chanting. The more we appreciate Srila Prabhupada, we recognize say, well, I'm sorry, I can't practice. I'm in household life, I'm in every kind of association with devotees. And my answer to that is always that the best way you can have that relationship is by reading Srila Prabhupada's books. Read Srila Prabhupada's books. For that, you don't have to stay in the temple. You can be at home. And by reading Srila Prabhupada's books, you can have association. And when you read automatically, you become reminded of what you should do and what you shouldn't do. No excuse. I can't. I'm in a difficult situation, that's why I can't write this question. Yes, some difficulties will be there. But if we recognize the importance and the need for it, then we'll be able to help. If there is some difficulty to procure food, do we give up eating? Do we ever do that? Oh, it is so difficult to get food, so I'm not going to eat. Does anybody ever do that? Rather, the more difficult it becomes to procure food, the more intense becomes our endeavor to get food. And why are you so attached to food? Because the food is essential to keep the body and soul together. So, really important that we recognize the object of our purpose. Maya will come in so many ways to take up the world. Maya will try, Maya will continuously try. And if Maya takes us away, then Maya laughs. Oh, God, another soul. Yes, we used to have our appreciation, our sense of achievement. We used to say, we got a sikha. We used to make a new doctor. We used to say that we got a sikha. That means we made a doctor. Shaved up and become sikha. 10 sikhas this month. 20 sikhas. But Maya is counting 10 devotees, 10 souls, 20 souls, 100 souls, 200 souls, 1,000 souls. So Maya is taking the devotees. Now the question is, should we stay with Krishna or should we go? That is the test, that is the option. If we go for Krishna, our life will become successful and sublime. If we go for Maya, another life will be blessed. Another opportunity is lost. So, Maharaj, a 6-year-old boy, saw the Supreme Personality of God in place and he can see the redemption. Now are these just some fairy tales? No. These are factual happenings. This is what happened to the world. And if someday we get to see Krishna, we will see him. Our heart will become so full of joy. It cannot be described in any earthly words. It cannot be described by any material expression. The joy of seeing Krishna, the joy of being Krishna. So let's pursue that real path by following the process and should have given. Then very easily our life will pass. personal development and spiritual growth. Personal development can be material. Personal development always doesn't have to be spiritual. There are so many sources of personal development, psychological, intellectual development, managerial development, go to business management school and you learn. So personal development, you become expert. But that doesn't necessarily mean spiritual development. But spiritual development is a very special and that personal development is with the capital P. Yes,
now, if I understood well, you were telling when describing the difference between devotee and demon, you said the devotee is generous, the demon doesn't belong to you. But we see sometimes that very demonic persons are inclined to be evil a lot. Charity and so on. Even Krishna describes him, but he gives the man of the quality of the demon. He is charitable, he is surrounded by the suppressed and so on. So sometimes it's confusing to devotees and they cannot distinguish why you are criticizing these people. There are such nice people. So how do you feel?
This kind of generous people can be two kinds. One is innocent. They don't know Krishna. They don't know about their spiritual identity. But they feel generous. But the other is demonic. Why a demon becomes generous? You know, Ravana was very generous. But why he was generous? Because he realized that that's the best way to get people to submiss and become submissive. Their understanding, their purpose is not to benefit them, benefit the people in real sense, but to benefit themselves by getting them to submit themselves. You are with me, if you follow me, I'll be here. Like Hiranyakashipu, very gentle. Why his soldiers were so much committed to him? Because he was prepared to give them everything. Whereas to his own son who went against him, see, that is, that kind of generosity of the demon is an apparently it appears to be generous, but actually. The moment you say, I'm not like you find Bhimbhasan is very generous. To the people, those who surrender to him. But those who are not surrendered to him, the mafia is very generous to those people who are submissive. But those who are not submissive to them, so it is not a generosity of the heart. The real generosity is, you know, feeling for the people, and as a result of that feeling, we do something. Out of the love, we do something. Sometimes people are generous because of their pride. Karna had this feeling. I am the greatest. I'm the most generous person. I'm the biggest giver of charity. Right? And then Krishna came. Indra came in his guide and said that you give your shield and your shield and armor, which was, he was born, it was embedded in his heart. And he cut it in. So, but you know, when it came to Krishna, when it came to Yudhishthira, when it came to Arjuna, when it came to Draupadi, So in this way, in the ultimate litmus test, they fail. Whereas the devotee is generous under all circumstances. The Kauravas harassed the Pandavas so much, they took everything out of them. But when the Kauravas were defeated by the Gandharva king, then the Rishi Maharaj said, Bhima said, no. Now they got real punishment. Let them suffer, let them be punished. But the Rishi Maharaj was a counselor. Between ourselves, they are 100 and they are 5. But to the outsiders, they are 105. So when they have been attacked by the outsiders and they are distressed, we have to go. We didn't consider all the difficulties. We don't let them go. So that is the generosity of the devotee. His generosity is in any. People, those who cause distress and difficulties to them, they don't give to them. But for a materialistic person or a demoniac person, their generosity is calculated. I will give you 5 euros only when I can see that I can get 25. Or at least 10 euros. That is it. And people say, oh, you will find euros. So, yes.
It looks like Maya and Kavya machines. Sometimes it looks like we work together. Can I explain this again?
Yeah. Not really. You see, Maya is like a teacher. Maya sees who has become qualified to pass the test. Maya doesn't go out of her way to make somebody fail. She will put the test. And then if someone passes, he will go forward, those who fail, they will stay away. But Kali's business is to go against Krishna, go against Maya, doesn't go against Krishna. But Kali's business is to go against Krishna. His business is to establish Aadhar. Okay, yes.
Sometimes, because you mentioned the man. So sometimes I have this difficulty. I wonder about Muslims. Sometimes I wonder whether they are actually demons or devotees, because at the same time they follow some principles, like they are here to live and they are quite chaste, the way they dress, etc. But at the same time they eat so much meat and they are quite violent. So how? What's your view on the Muslim world?
You see, we can't just generalize one community. There are some good Muslims, there are some bad Muslims. And the thing is, the unfortunate thing is that religion grew in the devil. So the rules that have been given, they are very basic. And the way the religion was established was quite brutal. And that's why when they, you see, that is the precedence that has been set. You see, among a bunch of demons, if you say that this is the only way and kill everybody who doesn't accept it, a time in a place where there is no vegetation, your food is meat, so meat eating is allowed. But when you are living in a world where there is so much milk and honey and so much vegetable food, to continue that practice will not be good. See, for example, in the Vedic culture, the cows are worshipped, kill the cows. In the Vedic culture, women are honored and respected. You insult the women and honor them. Even things like in Vedic culture, the Kshatriyas keep mustache. And they click the mushkar and kill the deer. So their culture became whatever is opposite to, whatever is very good, they just do the opposite. And as a result of that, this has become some culture that is opposed to that. Very culture is approaching that, and therefore it has become the culture of honor. As you were saying, that there are women and chairs. It is not that they have respect for women, and that's why they have developed culture. They want that nobody should look at their woman. They have to cover up. But they themselves can go and plunder and molest anyone. They have no compassion, like Bin Laden's statement was. That if one is American, doesn't matter whether it's a woman or children, because they're American, they don't have any right to kill. Now, what kind of culture is this? I'm not saying that they are not good Muslim, but generally that culture breeds this anger in them, and that's unfortunate. Today people may criticize America, but wait till the Muslims come to power. At least America is allowing extreme freedom. Freedom of religion, freedom of speech, freedom of, that there is, and that's another extreme, freedom for everything. But when they come, they won't be freedom. No freedom. Why he did that in course of